Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Well, God bless you. I am so happy that the Spirit of God is moving, and I thank God for what He is doing in this hour. This is Roderick Owensby, and I want you to know that only the truth will make you free. Healing will help your body. Good preaching will make you shout. Good singing will do the same. Miracles will bring the miraculous, noble miracles on the scene for hard cases. But I want you to know there's only one thing that will make you free, not set you free, make you free, create freedom in you. And that is the truth. The truth will make you free. You see, there's a reason why the truth won't set you free. There's so many people innocently say the truth will set you free. You can go to jail for doing breaking the law, and you can get out, but it doesn't mean you're free, because many people do the same thing and go right back for the same crime. But I want you to know, when the truth invades and explodes upon your conscience and upon your mind, it will make you free. Yes, it will. It will make you free. In other words, there's a new creation that goes on the inside. You know, most people have really, we don't hear too much about hell anymore. We don't hear too much about being convicted and coming under Holy Ghost conviction. We have to get back to the fundamentals of the gospel. No, I'm not a fire and hell brimstone preacher. I don't even look at myself as a preacher. I look at myself as, if you take the word preach, if you take the P off, is reach. We got enough preachers. We need somebody that can reach people. And I truly believe that there's something supernatural taking place in this hour. If you're hurting, you're in a position where you feel like your back is up against the wall, you don't see any way out, I want you to know the truth will make you free. I'm going to be ministering on teaching the truth. And the truth is something that may not set well with you, but it'll make you free. And so we want to get into that. And I want you to know that great is He that is in you. Don't look at yourself as a minority. Look at yourself as a majority. You know, we have class warfare that's being called politically correct. But in the kingdom of God, there's no class warfare. And don't you know, when Lucifer got beside himself and thought he would exalt his throne above God, well, he got kicked out. If you don't want to get kicked out, remember, there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one God. I don't care how many denominations we have. There's only one God. There's only one way. And listen, I don't care how anointed you are, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. I don't care how gifted you are. If you don't have love, you have nothing. I love you so much. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And we just want to pray and believe God that all the spiritual segregation will stop. And this my church, this your church, this my territory. You know, a lot of churches are like gangbangers now. This my block. This is my territory. This my pulpit. Everything is, this is mine. Well, Jesus told Peter, he said, listen, upon this rock, not upon Peter, but upon this rock, Peter had a revelation who Jesus was. He said, Peter said, Jesus asked a question rather to his disciples, who do men say that I am? And different ones said different things. You know what Jesus said? He said, listen, and Peter said, broke out, and Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't you know Jesus looked at Peter and said, listen, boy, flesh and blood didn't reveal that. You got it right. You get an A-plus in the Holy Ghost. But I want you to know, Peter broke out, and he gave a revelation. Thou art the Christ, Christos, the anointing Christ. You know, there were 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And the only way you know a foolish virgin, she have no oil, she wants to get it from the other virgin, he or she. But if you're a wise virgin, you keep your oil. You keep it, and you keep it burning. You trim your lamps. And, well, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. It shall not prevail against it. What? The truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that settles it. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God. And so the truth makes you free, not beating up folk, not dogging folk, not this gang-banging preacher mentality, but it's simply the truth. And this is Roderick Ormsby, rated R himself. And I want you to know that you can have the truth. It will shake you. It will shake your mind. Listen. Romans 3:23. While I'm on the subject, it comes in my spirit to share this because with millions of you that are listening, and listen, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us can talk about any of us. Did you hear me? None of us can talk about any of us because we all are part of the sin club. Yeah, there's one club we all been to, or have been to, or may go back to. The sin club. We all are known in the sin club. Why? We all have sinned and we all have come short of the glory of God. Now, how is an alcoholic going to talk about another alcoholic? Whether you quit or you're still drinking, you cannot put down someone that have done or will do what you used to do or are still doing. God, that is preaching. That's good preaching. Well, praise God. We give God the glory. We're going to get into it. Stay with me. I will be right back. I want to hear this song again. I like this. I like this song. Darn hard. Every day. Bless you.
Oh, thing in this walk with God is the divine ability to say it and it happens. And let me tell you something. God's not studying your prayers. He could care less how you pray, when you pray, and what you pray. Hold your seatbelts. Some of you Luke 18 and 1 people, I can hear you already. Man ought to always pray. But God is not studying your prayers. He said in Mark 11, 24. God spoke to me. He said, I want you to raise up a nation that knows how to talk. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. The divine ability to know how to speak, when to speak, and what to speak, who to speak to. He wakened me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear. How many of you know in Proverbs, the word of God says, the Lord creates the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Somebody say something. All of your five senses, God wants to transmute. He wants to take them into the spirit realm. That's what faith is. Faith is the sense to sense, to have enough sense to sense Him. Shout! Oh, bless this holy day. Look at verse 23. For verily, truly, I say unto you, that whosoever, everybody say whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. You know what doubt is? Insecurity. Galatians says, faith works by love. Your faith, for some of you people trying to get more faith, let me help you. Your faith can never rise above your love. You will never have great faith until you have great love. Faith works by love. Oh, shout hallelujah. Some of you don't have great faith because you're too stingy. You don't have enough love. I love you. See, you can't even say it back. I love you. You're getting good. Clap your hands and give God some praise. Now, I'm going to look at something. Everybody like this verse. Let's go to Ephesians 3 and 20. Let's go to Ephesians 3, 20. Now, watch this. Let's read it now. Read it. That's good, isn't it? You like that, don't you? Let's look at it. Watch this. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above how? That we what? According to the what? That what? Now listen, kings, priests, listen to me. God can only do for you. God works for you when you learn how to talk. God never works for anybody that doesn't know how to talk. Too many of God's people don't understand why the New Testament gifts of speaking in tongues was given to the New Testament church. You think it was just for Rabba Babiyan Roshita, car, Grobo, boat. You think God was teaching you some grammar or something? Don't try to figure me out. Are you getting this? word of God said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, I pray in the spirit and I pray with understanding. You that pray in the spirit, the only reason God gave you the gift to pray in the spirit, so that he can give you some understanding through the spirit. Somebody shout hallelujah. So that the spirit can tame your tongue. He can do abundantly above all that you ask or think. Nobody ever asks anything without thinking first. Now, this is what's hindering your prayers. Some of you are thinking wrong. So your asking is off. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I want you to listen to me. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Some people speak for God. I speak as God. God don't need me to speak for him. God need me to speak as him. Honey, if I tell my son to go in and tell my other son to shut up and go to sleep, he's not going speaking for me. He's going as me. And if he doesn't do what my son tells him to do, he's got to deal with me. Why? My son was me at the time he told the boy to go to sleep. I shut up. Now shout. When I tell the devil to come out, he comes out because God is telling him to come out. Somebody shout. Some of you, you want to speak for God. God don't need your lips. God don't need your mouth. The word of God said in St. John 16, verse 12, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How dear when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He, here comes faith now. He will not speak of himself. Some of you don't understand. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you become the Holy Ghost. Peter said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? Well, they didn't lie to the Holy Ghost. They lied to Peter. But since Peter was filled with the Spirit, when they lied to the Holy Ghost. Shout in Israel. Shout hallelujah. Stand on your feet, give God glory. Sit down. My God, I'm losing my mind again. Hey! Woo! I love it. Are you getting this? Woo! Now I'm to him. Him. Everybody to him. He's able. He's able, but he's only able according to the power that works in you. Let me tell you something. Elijah had a word from God. But if you notice, Elijah, when he spoke about the rain, he didn't say at God's word. He said at my word. Some of you, you want to speak to the mountain. But let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost, whatsoever he hear, that shall he speak. The Holy Ghost is the spirit or the sperm of Christ himself. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, faith come by hearing by the word of God. The Holy Ghost only responds to the hearing of the word of God. And just as you speak in tongues, you are doing the speaking. Elijah said, at my word. He didn't say God's word. Some of you, God said, God said. I don't have to say God said, thus saith the Lord. I said, I said it. Somebody shout. That's not me taking glory. That's God getting the glory out of a vessel that's sold out to him. Proverbs 18:21 said, death and life is in the power of the tongue. What is this talking about? Ephesians 3 and 20. According to the power that works in you. It's talking about according to the power of death or life. Now notice Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And whosoever loveth it will eat the fruit thereof. Love what? The fruit of death or life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I have located it. It's in your brain. Somebody shout hallelujah. with your dirty self. Sin is the wisdom to know how to do good and evil at the same time and then act saved.
Well, bless God. I want you to know that I wanted to break in here to let many of you know, listen, God has given us supernatural power. You see, when Jesus came on this earth and he completed his ministry, he brought us back to God, made peace with man and God, and redeemed the lost. He told his disciples, he gave them power and authority. Power and authority. This is what he did. Now, we have in our mouths death or life. Yes, you have two things in your mouth, supernaturally, death and life, are in the power of the tongue. That's Proverbs, the 18th chapter. And they that love it, love what? Death or life, will eat. Get it now. Remember when Eve was seduced, beguiled by the serpent, by the enemy. You have to understand something, that the enemy knew not to approach Adam through Adam, but he knew to approach Adam through the woman. Just like the enemy ultimately hates Christ. He hated him in heaven. So he's doing the same thing now. He's not trying to attack Christ because Christ defeated him. Get this now. Get this right in your spirit. He is attacking the church because he doesn't want the church to wake up to the reality of the kingdom. I tell people all the time, and I love every pastor, and you that are in the fivefold ministry, hear this. You are just head sheep. You're still a sheep. And many leaders, some get a little, picky with me and get upset with me, but I love you anyway. We must not, as leaders, make the membership, and membership is a controversial thing with me, because I believe that membership is kingdom, has nothing to do with your local church. And this is why there's too much segregation. If you don't go to this church, then you're not looked at as a member. Yeah, they'll say you're a member of the body of Christ, but don't you go in there and think you're going to be used of God. So the church has to go from church to kingdom. And see, the enemy knows if he can keep us in church, Lord help us now. Now, am I saying stop going to church? Clean your ears out. No, I didn't say that. But if the enemy can keep us church-minded, and he will keep us from becoming kingdom-minded. So the enemy, just as he beguiled Eve to get to Adam, who had the law written in his spirit. Women, do you notice that when a man speaks, the children responds? And do you ever notice that the first word that a child says is dada, or watch this, Abba, Father? You see, it's not male or female, it's God's order. And so we live in a society, and I'm not speaking of the world, because the world is just simply that, the world. But the church should become the kingdom of God. And see, the enemy knows that if he can keep us thinking male-female, he can keep us from the full reality and revelation that there's neither male or female. Now, I'm not saying there's not in the natural a male or a female. I'm saying there is a higher reality of the kingdom of God. And the supernatural does not work by gender. It works by faith and love. And you know, faith works by love. So the enemy knew that if I can attack Eve, I can get to Adam. If I can attack Eve, I'll get to Adam. The enemy knows that. If I can attack the church, I'll get to Christ, because the church is his bride. So understand this. Jesus said, behold, I've given to you dunamis, power. We get the word dynamite. You know, in good times, J.J. used to say dynamite. Well, what J.J. really was saying, you know, J.J., Jesus, is dynamite. God has given us dynamite, not a natural dynamite that will blow up natural things, but he's given us a spiritual dynamite that will blow up spiritual enemies, spiritual demonic influence. Dynamite is in your mouth. But see, if you bite and devour one another, come on, y'all. If you can't say I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, but you're dogging out fellow brothers and sisters. And this is one of the greatest problems in the body of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, so on and so on. But look at what the verse that is skipped over. Verse 16 says, stay away, shun profane and vain babblings. Watch this, warning. It will increase unto more ungodliness. How come it seems like you can't get a breakthrough? How come it seems like you can't move any further? How come it seems like you can't, it seems like your back is up against the wall? Well, it's in your mouth. Jesus, there was a need for money to pay taxes, take care of the business of Jesus Christ, his ministry on earth. Jesus told Peter, go get a fish, dig down in his mouth, and you'll find some money. The fish represents, you know, in the book of Nehemiah, there's a gate that's called the fish gate. The fish represents life. It represents people. So it's not by accident that Jesus used something natural to say something spiritual. Peter, go. Since you're a fisherman, put your hand in that fish's mouth and dig down in his belly. Come on here, where Jonah was. You understand the belly? Jonah said, out of the belly of hell I cried. Peter, go get you a fish, something you used to, something you're familiar with. God would always use something that you are familiar with to show you what he's doing. Peter went and got a fish, got some money, brought the money back to Jesus. Jesus said, give Caesar or give the government what belongs to them, and render to God what belongs to God. So what God is doing in this hour, he's shaking us. Get ready for the shaking. Are you being shaken? That's good. And see, the teachings on giving has been so dogmatic. Giving has less to do with money and more to do with the supernatural. You see, if you go to a ministry, and anyone that disagrees, I'll be glad to talk to you. But listen to this. If giving is spoken of in your ministry, I'm speaking to all leaders, and all you talk about is money, you are robbing the people from the reality of giving. Luke 6, the 6th chapter, I believe the 38th verse, given and shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. But religion would teach you, give into this brother bosom or this sister bosom. No, that's false teaching. See, what God is doing, he's shaking your faith down. He's pressing your faith down. You understand? And he's going to cause your faith to run over. You see, because the only thing that pleases God is faith. It has nothing to do with money. The woman had two mites. Jesus was looking at the people giving, and the woman gave two mites. Equals, I think it was a penny, but it was a very small sum of money. Other people were given a certain amount. They were quantity minded, but the widow was quality minded. Do you understand? Elijah goes to find a widow, quality minded, only has some oil and you know, just a few something small, a small meal for her and her son. The prophet said to the woman, bake me a cake first. And now we've had many prophets rise up, false prophets saying, bake me a cake first, send me $1,000. And you know, all of these auctions, can I get 50, can I get a 60, can I get a 70, all this mess. And I speak as an apostle, though I am a king, not the king. But I'm telling you, if you're a leader right now, quit it. Quit it. When the prophet went to the widow, it was not about money. It was not about saying, bake me a cake first. It was a principle. And when she followed the principle, because wisdom is principle, then God blessed her. We got to stop being money-minded, and we got to be principle-minded. So if giving is only taught about money, you know, in the Old Testament, people gave tithe when they won a war. Folk nowadays not winning no battles. But tithing and offering has been out-preached. It's like a song you hear over and over. You lose the meaning of the song. The meaning of tithing and offering has been lost. Somebody say this with me. I am a tithe of God. See, Jesus came back for the tithe. He came back for the remnant. So what God is doing, he is shaking us, pressing us down. And we're about to run over. I dare you right now in your house to raise your hand and say, God, I'm ready to run over. Don't you know God is pressing you down? You feel pressed down? You're not. Some of you feel depressed. You're not depressed. You're being pressed down. You're being shaken together. Some of you with folk you can't stand. God is shaking you together. And he's about to run over. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give what? Well, the only thing that pleases God is faith. We got a lot of people in trouble because they made a vow to God, because some man told them to make a vow. Come on. Somebody told you to make a vow, make a pledge, and you made it, and you haven't paid it. Now you're sitting up here in a man-made curse. I love you. Oh, yes, I do. I really love you. It's because the truth will make you free. Now you're in a man-made curse because some nitwit, slow-minded person that got up and prophesied you into a man-made curse. Now you got this pledge out there. Now you done made a vow to God. Isn't it amazing? Some folk keeping vows to man and not even keeping vows to God. But what is God saying? He's shaking us. He's causing us to run over. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to run over. He wants us to run over. You know, I'm running over. I feel a running over anointing. Right now, in the name of Jesus, there's many that are listening right now. You're ready right now to receive Jesus Christ in your life. You just begin. Listen, there's something about what God said through me that shook your very soul. Raise your hand right now. Not to me. Has nothing to do with me giving God all the glory. But you go ahead and you come under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. I'm coming under it with you. I'll say it with you. I want you to repeat. If you're ready to turn your whole world unto God, back to God. If you're ready to turn your life over to God, I want you to say it. I'm going to say it with you. It said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Have mercy upon Roderick, a sinner. Come on, I'm going to say it with you. Now, I confess the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Say it. And I believe that he suffered for me, he was buried for me, and he rose for me. And I am one with him. And now I decree that I am saved by his atonement. I am clean because I believe in the reality of Jesus Christ and him being made my ultimate sacrifice. I don't have to suffer again. I may go through things in this life. I may go through things in the natural. But I don't have to suffer spiritually. Because Jesus, you said, peace I leave with you. I receive the peace of the Holy Spirit. Now fill me now with the precious gift. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to sit and say Jesus 100,000 times to receive it. I don't have to flip over pews. Run down the aisles. I simply ask and I believe. Father, give me the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and say it. I receive it. I am redeemed from a guilty sin conscience. I am saved. And if I sin, I have an advocate. I have a spiritual lawyer that will plead my case because I received Jesus. Not making grace unappreciated, but I receive them through the love of God. Love is more important than my sins. past, present, and future, the love of God. What can separate me from the love of God? Can I know? Receive is the blood of Jesus. Hell is not my home. I receive the Lord Jesus in my life. You say that right now, you are saved, delivered, and free. Well, I feel good in my spirit because I obeyed God. Don't you ever, young man, young woman, preacher, singer, whatever you have operated in, and you feel like you gave up, you tired of church folk, you've been church hurt. And you said, I'm sick of church folks. They're phony. No, the phony one is you. Because if you know what God has called you to do, and you're letting others dictate or intimidate your purpose, then that makes you a phony. I love you. I only said that because I love you. So rise up and walk, and rise up and be healed and delivered. Do that. This is good for you. This is good for you. Don't let anybody condemn you and make you feel like God's through with you because of your past or even your future or even things you've been through. I don't care if it's divorce. I don't care if it's a scandal. I don't care what it is. Don't you let anybody else. You know, I told someone before on a secular job, I said, if you can't fire me, listen to this closely, then you have no power. Why are you listening to folk that can't fire you? Why are you paying attention to folk that have no power? I use something natural to show you something spiritual. Don't you let anybody who can't fire you control you. You know, God fired Saul, and he let Saul work over 30 more years after he rejected Saul. So if the ones that are influencing your life and you're concerned about folk talking about you, they don't have any power. They didn't hire you, and they can't fire you. Bless God from heaven. I see somebody just shouting, praising God. You need this. Listen, I'm going to give you my personal phone number. If you want somebody that will talk to you, see, some people don't have time for people. You got to make an appointment. But this is 33 years in ministry, and this is day one for me. I have time for anyone. If you're serious and you want to grow spiritually, I'm going to give you my number, 317-847. 4126. Call me anytime. Now, if you're not serious, I'll have a drop call on you. But if you're serious and you really want to grow in God, feel free to call my cell number, 317-847-4126. We'd love to talk to you and take you further in the kingdom of God. See, some people God anoint to help you grow, and then some folk feel like they are anointed to help you grow, and all they do is mess you up. I love you and give God the glory. I'll be right back in just a moment.
Yeah.
Listen, I want every one of you to know that the School of Prophets is wide open. If you're interested, give me a call at 317-847-4126. The School of Prophets. God is raising up true prophets, not presumptuous prophets, not money prophets, not auction prophets, but prophets after his own spirit called by God. If you feel that there's an anointing upon you and you need some guidance, feel free to become a part of the School of Prophets. It's called Osain Owusu School of Prophets. My dad, who went on to be with the Lord, 1999, October the 15th, powerful man of God, School of Prophets. You are so welcome. For more information, 317-847-4126.
Do the thing for me that you do. I can't comprehend it, no. Though I tried and tried, you know, but the words won't come. Though I just keep trying.
That we encourage ourselves. You know, so many times in society with so many ideologies of separatism and even in our churches that there's a spirit of me and mine, this is our church and you go to that church. And it's such a separatism in our society. Then we have the Pharisees and the Sadducees type spirits in religion. And then we have the political separations that we see our children see. And, you know, the Republicans against the Democrats and so on and so on. And then we have the independents. And then we hear constantly of different classes of people. You know, I'm one that have never agreed, even from a young lad. It's something about being called a minority that I threw up. I spit it out of my mouth. It didn't set right in my spirit. And some people don't accept and calling themselves a minority. Well, great is he that is in me. I don't know about you, then he that is in the world. When the prophet was approached by hundreds of false prophets. Anytime you have God in you, you are a majority. I didn't say superiority, majority. Yeah, so we have the first class, the middle class, the poor class, and all of these classes. And man needs to go back to class, God's class. And there's one class, as far as I'm concerned, the human class. So I'm not with all of this isms and schisms and yeah, it's time out for that. I tell my son, he's 8 years of age, and I tell Elisha that there are people of age, but they're still an adolescent. We got 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, but they're still an adolescent. There are people who think because they are a certain color that they're better than everybody else. I'm talking about on all sides. I don't have a white-black mentality, so don't even start. I want you to be receptive. I'm not sent to those that are well. I am sent to those that need healing. And so if you open your hearts, you will receive what the Holy Spirit has given me now. Now, if you don't want to receive it, no harm done. God bless you and I love you. But to those that are tired of the norm, those that are tired of the same old, I'm sent to you. Those who have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God, those who have a serious crave, you know, just like at White Castle, the crave, but they're talking about the natural food, but those who have a crave for God, I'm telling you, I am sent to you. And I want you to know that I'm going to say something. I want you to repeat after me. I can see you in the spirit. You're so welcome to call in 818-431-8553. This is Roderick Owensby. Say this with me. What people think of me is none of my business. Go ahead and say it. What people think of me is none of my business. See, one of the things that has been inspired to my thought life from the Holy Spirit is simply thinking that it's our business what people think about us. It's not our business. The prophet Samuel was weeping about King Saul that's been anointed as king, and God told him to get up and go anoint Saul as king. Well, the time came where Saul was rejected by God because he disobeyed. And God let Samuel know, hey, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Once we understand that when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's not my business what people think about me. And so, even when it comes to family folk, it's no longer my business. I feel so free. I wanted to share this with you. We're just getting started. I want to show you how this way of thinking will reconcile with truth and peace and spiritual growth and integrity. And furthermore, we will achieve this impeccable thought pattern, way of thinking. And it's nothing more than what Christ taught. And learn how. Come on, people. We must learn how to avoid the pitfalls of crazy makers, gossip mongers, chaos junkies. We got people who are chaos junkies. You know, there are some people who wake up in the morning before they go to work. They have to have a cup of coffee. There are, at the same time, there are people who have to have a cup of gossip. Do you not know there are people who live, who breathe, who move to slander others? Don't you know there's big businesses that's built, billion-dollar businesses every year that's built on lies? Many parts of our society has been built on lies. Not true. Well, we don't have to fret. God has given us a mastery, and I want to share it with you. And one of the things that stops many of God's people from being successful, now mind you, success is not a home. It's not about where you live, what you drive, what you wear. And I'm in Matthew 6. Success is simply having God as your father, God working for you, You are serving God. You become his friend by faith. It's only by faith that you could become a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. So therefore, Jesus said, henceforth, I'm not calling you servants anymore, but I'm calling you friends. This is part of the coming of Jesus Christ, was to establish a peaceable friendship between man and God. So this is available to every person who will believe. You are a friend of God. Go ahead and say it. I am a friend of God. But let me tell you something. Being a friend of God, oh, why would you consider what others are saying about you? They have the time to talk about you because they don't have the time to pray. And then one of the things that gossipers will do, those who are envious and jealous, they will be in denial of the very fact that they do find their little corner and their little private meetings time to discuss your life because they have none. Now I'm talking to somebody that's you feeling like, oh, God, who am I? Why was I born? What is my purpose in life? Come on. And you have those that really don't understand that this is a big world and everybody needs to be ministered to. There's an audience for what I'm saying. And I know you're listening. And I know you're saying, thank God for the word of God. Listen, some of you go to churches where you feel like you are nobody because you don't shout the way other folks shout. You don't speak in tongues the way other folks speak in tongues. So what? So what? God chose you because you are unique. You are uniquely designed by God to worship him in spirit and in truth. So what do you do? How do you avoid the pitfalls of crazy makers? People who make this love. Don't you know some folk are addicted to drama? Mm-hmm. I'm serious. I mean like a drug. It's a drug to start. You got folk like that on your job. They just have to look and see how they can make somebody look bad. Come on. You got people like that in your churches. They just plot like a lion that's hungry. They plot, how can I make somebody look less than me? Come on, yeah, really. There are people who sleep, wake up with the same mind. I often wonder, how can you go to sleep and wake up the same way? But there are people who are professional slanderers. I mean, they are after to slander anybody that they can because they have a father, and his name is Satan. So the devil is the author of confusion, so how do you avoid the pitfalls of crazy makers, gossip mongers, and those who are chaos junkies and drama, the drama triangle? You know, people will ask you questions just to see what your answer is. That's why I'm always ready. I'm always on my toes. I'm ready to answer every man concerning my faith. I have no problem answering. I don't know how many can handle the answer. But you have to get to the point where you know your relationship with God. Don't let nobody make you feel less than who you know you are. And some of you need to take a break from kinfolk. And, you know, kinfolk miss you when you're not around them. But when you come around them, they return to the same spirit. So sometimes it's good to steal away and just get away from folk. Take a vacation in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because some people will never change. You may not believe it, but there are some people who will never change. They love the way they are. They like it. They like it. So how do you avoid? Well, you have to change. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Hear this now. Which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery. He didn't think it was anything wrong with him being equal with God. That shocked some people. Well, what son that's on earth that does not want to be like his father, good or bad? Good or bad? What daughter that does not have some type of desire to be like her mother, good or bad? Yeah. Do you or have you spent a large portion of your life ensuring that people like you? Have you bent over backwards for people you may not even know, only to try to get them to like you? Do you have or have you ever extensively worried whether someone likes you or not? If you seem to find yourself in a never-ending cycle, a never-ending circle of not feeling good or not liking yourself due to what others think about you, what do rumors and gossip have to do with the truth? What if the rumor or the gossip is based in truth? What if the rumor is true altogether? Is it then okay to continue gossiping or relaying to the rumor? Of course it's not. Are you sick of being controlled and manipulated by people that's in your lives? until you become overwrought and you come to a breaking point? If you think someone dislike you or purposefully try to do things to make them like you, if you try to impress people, listen, let me tell you some people. One thing that you really need to understand, don't seek praises of people. Don't try to have people praise what you do. If you're doing good, do it unto the Lord. Have you ever pretended to be different or someone you weren't in order to fit in? Listen, don't ever do that. Be who God made you. And if people don't like that, kinfolk or not, or acquaintances, then once you come of age, you have to make your own decision. You have to make your own decision, and you can't sit up and worry. You know, I'm so glad that I am free. I want you to be free as I am. Because if you ponder too much on what people think about you, it will weigh you down. I am free. Say it with me. I am free. I want you to be free. Because you know what? It's no longer your business what people think. Isn't that good? Don't you feel free? Praise God. Don't you feel like a burden lifted up? Because you made it your business to care what others think about you. You've made it your business. I mean, you done got your office set up, got your secretary, got your staff, and you live your life and caring about what people think about you. And it has caused your household to be in an uproar. It has caused your life to be messed up. You know, me and my queen, Katrina, is one thing we don't believe in. We stand together, and you ever been around people, they got a funny spirit? They act funny toward you? And when you feel that funny spirit, and then the same folk who had that funny spirit, they said, no, we're not talking about you. Yes, you are. You don't just wake up and get a funny spirit about somebody. You get a funny spirit from conversations about a person. That's how you get a funny spirit. And what you do with that funny spirit, you laugh at it because it's funny. Praise God. It's a funny spirit. You ever heard folks say my money is funny? I've never seen money laugh, but I have seen funny spirits from people. And that's why I said it before, I don't apologize. Parents are responsible for many of the evils in the world. You have parents who have taught their children that they're superior, and yet they act like they're morally right. You have parents of all races. I'm not talking to one race. All races, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You got some races. How you got all these people feeling the same way for hundreds of years? Because it's being taught in the home. You're better than this person because of the color of their skin. you're better than this person because you live in this neighborhood. Rich or poor bleed alike. So by the same token, we have religious segregation. You know, if you believe God this way, then you can't be a part of me. Yeah, you can come, but you never will be a part. You know when you're not a part of something. You can feel when you're not a part of something. Don't ever let nobody make you think you're crazy because of how they feel about you. Don't do that. Because I'm going to tell you something. People are in denial when they're gossipers. That's one of the first characteristics of a gangsaying person. A gossiper. Denial.
I know what the Bible says to me.
Moss, be released from the opinions of other people. If you think someone dislikes you, do you try to do things to make them like you? Despite societal expectation, we focus on how to begin the perception shift necessary for this freedom to occur. We need the freedom from other people's thoughts. Listen, God gave you a mind for your own thoughts. Be free this day. The opposite of freedom and release from other people's opinion is bondage and control due to their opinions. You know, there are